The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
With me now, though, on The Hard Shoulder is Isabel Haugh, the consultant dermatologist at the Institute of Dermatologists. Isabel, you're very welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
It's good to see you again. So, retinol to be banned by the European Commission. I saw this headline the other day. What are they actually doing?
So it's not a full-on ban. What they are banning is over-the-counter retinol products that have 0.3% strength for the face and hands and 0.05% over those levels for the rest of the body. So they're changing the amount of retinol that's allowed to be in over-the-counter products.
So what is retinol for people who don't know?
Great question. So it's a vitamin A-derived ingredient. It's part of a broader group of skincare products called retinoids. And they are our hero anti-aging products. So they're very, very effective in improving the overall appearance of the skin, reducing fine lines, wrinkles, decreasing pore size, all that good stuff.
Okay. So they've become increasingly popular in recent years, maybe a little too popular, which is why the European Commission have sought to intervene. Because I assume just, you know, above a certain percentage, that the logic is it just becomes harmful.
To be honest, the regulation is a little surprising to me.
Okay.
And I think it's surprising to the overall dermatology community because the basis for it is a concern for hypervitaminosis. So it's a derivative of vitamin A. So the concern is that people will have too much vitamin A in the system, which of course can be harmful to our organs, our liver and so on. It can also be harmful to a female if she were pregnant, to the unborn baby. So that is the motivation. But really, we're talking about a really low percentage of vitamin A that's put on a very small part of the body. So the overall absorption is very, very low.
Okay.
And when you think about it in the context of you can walk into a pharmacy and get a vitamin A supplement and take as much as you want, that's not regulated. So the basis for it is a little bit surprising to me.
All right. Okay. That is an interesting insight. Is there an age at which you should start taking retinol or an age below which you shouldn't need it?
So the main issue with it, and I suspect that this is where it truly came from, is like you said, recently there's been a big phenomenon of, you know, tweens, preteen people using active ingredient on their skin, which isn't really appropriate. It's causing a lot of irritation. So the retinoids, this family of treatments, they work in a specific way. They channel lots of cellular activity, but they can cause a lot of irritation when they're first started. So they can cause redness and peeling and all that uncomfortable thing. So I think what probably motivated with this was young people using it and causing themselves a lot of irritation.
Okay. I mentioned you were coming in and so many people got in touch with questions, as they always do. Some of them retinol related, some of them kind of just more broadly skincare. But just on retinol, I'm 47. Would retinol still be okay on my skin or am I too late?
Absolutely. That would be a great time to use it. A lot of people 47 and upward will start to use retinol. So that would be a great time to start.
I'm a man with a beard. Can I use retinol?
Yes, no reason not
else.
To.
And I guess what, can you apply it to the skin through the beard or is it just to kind of the parts of the face that are not covered in hair?
Yeah, the penetration might be a little bit of an issue if there's a thick layer of hair over there, but you can apply it to hair-bearing surfaces. That's not an issue.
Can I exfoliate while using retinol?
So you have to be a little bit careful. So it loosens up the connection between the skin cells. That is great because it increases the turnover and allows the skin to regenerate. But when you first start doing that, that's when that irritation starts to come up. So in the beginning, you would want to be a little bit careful with exfoliation because that in itself is irritating. So doing them together initially, probably not a great idea, but then as the skin starts to adapt to the topical retinol, then some light exfoliation can be reintroduced. But technically, retinols themselves are a chemical exfoliant. So they do exfoliate the skin chemically. So you may not need to use other types of exfoliant with it.
When people start to use it, and as you say, there can be a bit of a teething process. You kind
Absolutely.
Of flare up. You might be a bit red, a bit scaly. There might be a bit of peeling or whatever. At what point should people think, oh, this is more than just what's expected? I'm actually having a bad reaction to it and I should stop taking it, or I should speak to somebody like Isabel and ask a question.
The way we recommend people start is just using it a couple of times a week.
Okay.
So you just start with a very small amount, like probably like a quarter pea size amount for the entire face. And then you gradually increase it and using in combination with a nice moisturizer to kind of balance out the effects and then slowly increase it over the course of weeks to months. If you're going at that rate and still having a lot of irritation, then it's probably not for you.
Do I need to use a higher SPF? Somebody else wonders if using retinol.
Retinol does increase your sensitivity to the sun. So you do want to get in the habit of using a daily SPF and then topping it up throughout the day if you're going to have a lot of sun exposure or you're going to lose the protection that you have. I recommend a minimum of SPF 30. And then you also want to have broad spectrum coverage. So you want to make sure it's labeled on it that your sunscreen's broad.
Would you recommend people, like retinol aside, have broad coverage SPF all the time?
Yes, I do. Skin cancer has a huge prevalence in Ireland. You know, I see it all day long and I really would encourage people to wear sun protection every day.
Even in the winter?
Yes, I would.
Wow. You're talking to someone who barely ever puts on, even in the summer.
I mean, the UV index in the winter in Ireland is quite low.
Yeah.
But given how fair we are, given the rates of skin cancer, I think it's something that should be encouraged.
I'll take your advice. I'll try to take your advice. I see loads online taking collagen tablets. Are they worth it? Well, what's a collagen tablet first?
Yeah, so there's a lot of talk right now about oral collagen supplementation and there's good science to back it up. You know, they've looked at it in depth in a lot of our dermatology journals. And when it's taken, it can increase, how the skin appears, how hydrated it appears, because it's a building block. You need collagen to build, elastin, all those good things in the skin. So yeah, there is strong evidence for it. So I do encourage it.
All right. That's another question asked and answered. Actually, this is a retinol one as well mm-hmm. that's come in. What does the percentage on the bottle mean? I know we were talking about percentages in terms of kind of what's allowed and what's not allowed or what won't be allowed. But what does it actually mean?
It's the amount.
Just the amount of pure retinol that's in this product.
Mm-hmm. The rest of it
is then what?
All sorts of things, you know. A lot of the time it's just vehicle. So like in medicines, if you're, there's always just a certain potential of the active ingredient and then it's a medium to deliver the medicine.
My doctor, this is from Pat. My doctor wants to use cryosurgery on my skin. Is it safe on skin and what's it used for, says Pat.
So cryosurgery is a type of freezing treatment. So it's used to basically kill the top cells of the skin. It's primarily used for pre-skin cancers on the skin, things called actinic keratosis. So it kills those cells. So if it's something that Pat's doctor is recommending, it's probably for that reason. And it's something that we do all day long in dermatology for these types of things. So it's largely considered to be safe. Other places it's used for things like warts.
All right. Okay. Also like when people used to get the verruca freezed off or whatever.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Oh, the doctor hacking away into your foot after the swimming pool. Anyway, I'm getting PTSD thinking about it. I see somebody getting Profilo. Is it very invasive? And more importantly, does it work? What is it? I should ask. That's my question.
So Profilo, it's a type of injection. It's hyaluronic acid. The way to think about it, it's like a really intensive moisturizing treatment. So hyaluronic acid is a hydrophilic compound. So it loves water. It soaks it all up. So it's a nice treatment if you want to kind of increase the moisture of your skin so that the texture and the buoyancy looks a little bit better. I love it as a pre-wedding treatment. I think it's really nice then. So depending on what their aesthetic goals are, it can be a really nice treatment.
As always happens, loads and loads of questions coming in as soon as we start talking. So you'll have to come back to us soon.
Absolutely. Delighted to.
Time. Yeah, we love that. Isabel Hawes, a consultant dermatologist, founder at the Institute of Dermatologists. Isabel, thanks a million for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.